Sexy and Van City Radio may contain adult content. Listener discretion is advised. You are listening to Sexy and Van City Radio on 101.9 FM, CITR.
Welcome to Sexy and Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. Or maybe you could be one of our podcast listeners. However you've decided to spend the hour with us, we're very, very, very glad to have you. And it is a gorgeous night, and it is sexy, and we are about to embark on Pride this weekend, which I think is really, 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 really beautiful. So I can't wait to kind of dive into some of the festivities, this parade on Sunday, etc. And one of the things that comes up sometimes, and a few years ago for Pride, I had Connie Smudge, who does Dragontown, on the show, and that was really wonderful. And I've got something really cool on the show tonight as well, which I have got the lovely, the sexy, the talented Chris Logan on the show, and he has a wonderful book called Drag. So, Chris, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. And I have a question for you.
Sure.
Which is, on the cover of the book, which is absolutely gorgeous, which I wish to God we had like a camera in here so everybody could see, because you're absolutely gorgeous. The book is absolutely, truly beautiful. And in terms of just the way drag's spelled, where it's like almost like Dr. A.G., and I don't know, it's not about A.G. hair or anything like that. So why is it D-R-A-G?
Well, the way it's broken up, it's actually kind of an acronym, because drag actually means dressed as girl. In the old days, like the Shakespearean times, when the actors would take the stage, it was always the male actors that would play both the male and the female
That's
roles.
Right.
So their costume changes and their listings of when they were going on stage and when they were coming out were listed either DR period, A period, G period, drag for dressed as girl, or drab for dressed as boy.
Drab, I love that.
Yeah, but I guess, but if we called lesbians drab kings, they'd kick our asses.
Yes, very much so. So how did you get into, because I've known you for a really long time.
Yeah.
I think we met originally auditioning for something, and I just remember singing a lot with you.
So. Yeah. Yeah, it's been, what, at least 10 years, I think.
I think so, for sure. Actually, probably more than that, actually.
Yeah.
But, so how did you get involved with drag?
Well, I'm predominantly an actor, and I was in this film, Connie and Carla, that did quite well. Playing a drag queen. It was with Nia Vardalos from My Big Fat Greek Wedding and Toni Collette, and they played two girls who witnessed a mob hit and then went undercover pretending to be drag queens. So there were girls dressed as boys, dressed as girls. And then I was one of the four drag queens that hid them from the mob in the movie.
Nice.
Yeah. But I'm an actor, and I've written a film on drag, and so this book is actually a fundraiser to raise the funds to make that movie.
So tell me a little bit about the film.
Well, the film's about our experiences in drag. It was kind of a bit of a crisis of identity in the drag clubs. I mean, drag is an art form where people are really expressing who they are and showing different sides of themselves mm-hmm. to the extremes. And it can take you in some really, really wonderful places, but it can also take you to the wrong side if it's not the right thing for you. So it's about an exploration of knowing what you're doing, showing who you are, and knowing the difference between using a mask of makeup to hide or to show who you really are.
And what is the way, if somebody was going to wanted to try drag, that you'd recommend so they're not hiding, but they're actually letting themselves shine through?
Well, the thing is, it's the same thing. Like, I think every woman in the world knows that you can use makeup to conceal things or to bring things out. And you have to know where the lines are, because you're not trying to dim your light or to hide under an armor, but you're trying to bring out your natural beauty. And with drag, it's even to the extreme, you're trying to bring out another side of yourself. It's these men bringing out their feminine sides, or the idolatry of screen sirens and people on the silver screen, and trying to bring out the feminine things that they admire and want to pay homage to.
And how did you get into it yourself?
Myself, years ago, there was there's a drag court in town that would raise money, and my friends were in the drag court, and every year they do a program. So one of the traditions is you would buy a page in the program, kind of like in a high school yearbook, and you would give them $100 towards their charity, and you would get a page congratulating them on what a good job they did that year. And so my friends did me up in drag for that, and then from that I got asked to do an amateur show, and then I won that, and then started getting booked around town.
That's really cool. I didn't know that before. Thank God for Facebook. I got to reconnect with you.
Yeah, I love Facebook. This entire book of drag queens started on Facebook. Every single person in the book I contacted through Facebook. It's such an easy way to get to know people because it's so very casual and it's not considered very intrusive to just drop someone a one-line note.
So in terms of if somebody wanted to connect with people on Facebook, mm-hmm. that's so cool that that's how you got everybody. And for listeners out there, we should probably let everybody know it's not just Vancouver.
It's drag performers from all over the world. We have people from Belgium, from Australia, from China. It's very heavy on the U.S. as far as New York and Los Angeles because there's a lot of performers there like Joey Arias and Jackie Beat and Lady Bunny and some of the performers from RuPaul's Drag Race in L.A. that have some kind of name recognition, and it's on the strength of their name recognition that we were able to get the book published.
That's so cool. How did you conceptualize the idea of the book?
Well, I was trying to raise money for a film, and I believe that where the money comes from for a project really mm-hmm. affects the tone of it. And so we decided, why don't we just produce a book on the same subject? And so this is a book on drag to raise money for a film on drag. What we ended up doing was contacting people on Facebook whose photos we liked, mm-hmm. and it tended to just happen to be people who are very respected in the industry because they tend to know the top people, have the best photographers, have great makeup, have great looks, and also have a ton of photos because these mm-hmm. people shoot stuff all the time, you know, for upcoming shows, business cards, flyers, promotional stuff, and then a month later they're on to their next photo, but there's all these beautiful photos out there that nobody's seen. Like, it hasn't gone past their small circle. So it's a way of reusing some stuff that someone has already gotten their work out of mm-hmm. to raise money for another cause.
That's really cool. In terms Thanks. Of the photos, are they all varied, like in terms of for different time periods of different people's careers as well?
The photos are mostly fairly current or stand up. The photos were all donated. Every photographer and every performer donated their work to me and signed releases so that the money goes to the production of the film. What's great about that is everyone donated one or two photos, so no one's out a lot, and no one had to go out of their way to shoot new material, because artists get asked to work for free all the time, for mm-hmm. charities, to raise their level, to build a resume, all sorts of things. So using photos that they already had, there's not really anything to do but sign a release, and I believe that we will surpass everyone's expectations and get them more out of the book than they ever thought they could get.
That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. In terms of the film, tell me what your vision is for that.
Well, to be honest, we're just at the start now with this book coming out, and it is mm-hmm. the fundraiser that is the money that comes in from the book will go to the production funding for the film, but it also gives us a platform to raise money off of. So the film's probably about 2 years down the road mm-hmm. at least. But I just want to make sure the film is as respectful on drag as I believe the book is. If anyone wants to take a look at some of the pages we're talking about in the book, you can go to bookthefilm.com, www.bookthefilm.com, and there's some preview pages there so you can get an idea of what we're talking about. These are the top professionals in their field, shot by fashion and celebrity photographers, and it is a celebration of the art of drag, not like other books that you've seen that are kind of a how-to.
And I think that's really important, because I don't think there is anything like this, as far as I know.
Not so far. Hopefully there'll be many more, though.
I was just going to say, you might need to do a couple.
I would love to. I would absolutely adore to.
So in terms of that, how has the response been so far?
Actually, it's been really great, actually. I just came back from Los Angeles, where we did a little mini book tour in Pomona, Long Beach, West Hollywood, and a quick trip to Vegas. And within 4 days, we had sold out our initial run on Amazon.
Oh my goodness, that's incredible.
And now articles are starting around the world. There's a magazine in Scandinavia that just contacted us. There's a photography magazine that the editor loved the book so much. They gave us a free full one-page ad in place of her editorial column that month.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, people seem to be really not only embracing the book, but trying to help it succeed, which I'm all for.
Which, I agree, that's fantastic. We are going to take a really quick short break, and when we come back, we will be back listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. We will be right back.
Winnie Cooper presents the Thursday Concert Series at 560. With one of the biggest video walls in North America, 560 is quickly becoming one of the nicest venues Vancouver has to offer. It currently houses four floors, each presenting you with a different musical vibe. In the coming months, the Thursday Concert Series will showcase some of the biggest local and international acts to hit town. The Thursday Concert Series at 560 Club, located at 560 Seymour Street in Vancouver, BC, presented by Winnie Cooper.
Cinco Cinco Wednesdays at the Cobalt. $5 cover, $5 draft, and $5 highballs. A weekly showcase of up-and-coming bands, artists, and DJs, where the artists get 100% of their ticket sales. For more information, visit thecobalt.ca.
Electro Swing Vancouver celebrates its first birthday with special UK guest, The Correspondents. The Correspondents have floored countless audiences, with The Telegraph UK rating them as their top 10 highlights of Glastonbury Festival 2 years in a row. They will be joined by a live vaudeville band, burlesque, and a fire display for an all-around spectacular night. Retro dress is encouraged. Advance tickets are $15 at escv1yearanniversary.eventbrite.ca or at Woo Vintage. Sponsored by CITR 101.9 FM and So Salacious.
Want to know what's up at UBC? Read the UBC. It's only the largest student newspaper in Western Canada, and it's written and edited entirely by UBC students. The UBC is your source for on-campus news, culture, and sports. New editions come out every Monday and Thursday. For breaking news as well as amazing videos and blogs, check out ubc.ca.
Back in Sexy and Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. And Chris Logan, you're going to make me keep laughing because every time I go into sexy voice, you start
I love the
It gets all the vibration on the face, which is great.
I guess I should go down.
That is a whole other show.
Yeah, I think so. I just heard that.
I'm just going to get you a little closer to the mic.
Okay.
Ooh, I like
that.
There
we go.
I like that a lot.
Well, good.
So if you're just joining us right now, I'm talking to the lovely, the talented, the wonderful Mr. Chris Logan, who has a wonderful book called Drag. And over the break, we had a caller just asking us in regards to where you could get it in Vancouver. So we should probably, in case other listeners are wondering.
Actually, soon the book will be at Chapters and at pre-app stores. But one of our greatest supporters has been Janine and the people at Little Sisters Bookshop on Davie Street. Little Sisters has lots of the books. They've already gone through their third order in about 4 weeks. So they've been very, very supportive. And anything we can do to help support them would be great too. They have a large selection of books, predominantly for the gay and lesbian crowd, mm-hmm. but there's wonderful stuff in there, and it's a beautiful store to look at.
It's a gorgeous store.
Yeah, it's just on Davie Street.
And if anyone's coming down for Pride, it's might as well go check it out as well, pick up
a copy. Yeah, definitely. If you're coming from out of town for Pride, or you have some friends and have some questions, the staff at Little Sisters Bookshop can help you out. They know everything that's going on, and they kind of have their hand in everything. They can direct you where to go, what to do, who to talk to when you get there, and how to have the most fun and the safest Pride.
And I think that's very key.
Yeah, very much so.
I can't wait.
It's going to be fun. It's going to definitely be fun.
CITR has been really supportive of Pride. Actually, a couple of years ago, I was lucky enough to get to broadcast live from one of the floats.
Oh, lovely.
That was very fun.
Yeah, no, I'm sure. It's going to be such a kick, especially when you don't know what's coming next, right?
Very much so. We kept pulling people up to get interviewed really quickly. So
lovely.
People would have different costumes, etc., representing different organizations. Some really cool things. So,
It's absolutely amazing what some people come up with costumes, eh?
Very much so.
Yeah, just spur of the moment and the creativity. And it's with duct tape and two spatulas, they can make something wonderful.
Very much so, and well put.
True. I mean, it's the same with drag, right? It's like that scene in Carol Burnett, that the longest laugh they ever had in the Gone with the Wind sketch where she took the curtains and made a dress. If anyone remembers that, because she had the curtain rod across her back. It was absolutely brilliant. But it's like that with the drag performers. They can just make something out of nothing. It's absolutely wonderful to watch.
That's really similar to burlesque, which I think is pretty cool. The other thing I was going to ask is, for you, this whole process, because a lot of people dream about creating a book, and, you know, I hear all the time, I want to write a book, I want to do this. You actually went out and did it. So how did it go from point A to point B, where you pulled everything together, and from conceptualization to let's do it as a fundraiser?
To be honest, it's almost been pretty divine. It's been all this one connection after the next as we went through things. I think I just had a real voice on and a point of view with drag and something I really wanted to present, and everyone felt my passion and kind of came along for the ride. A woman I know, Mami O'Mare, who worked at the coffee shop, she was the graphic designer for the book. She's at mamiomedia.com. She had just started into graphic design, and just the same day I had come up with this concept for the book. So she ended up working on spec for me and put the entire book together with me over a period of about 2 years. I mean, just the chance that she happened to be starting a company that does what I need her to do at the same time as I'm starting it. Those kind of connections are insane.
That's pretty, really synchronistic, which is really cool. A lot of things you've mentioned in terms of connecting a lot of the performers based on Facebook.
Yes.
So literally, technically, almost cold calling for some of them.
It was very much so. I would find a photo that I liked on Facebook, tag it, and say, I'm putting this book together. If you'd like some information, please send me your email, and I'll send you some more formal information. And almost everybody just responded instantly. And then you tell them what the book was about, and to be honest, it all came together with one of the Vegas performers that the book is sort of dedicated to, Larry Edwards. He's a Tina Turner impersonator at Divas Las Vegas at the Imperial Palace. The book is dedicated to Larry because Larry believed in the project so much that he called all these performers in Vegas, like Frank Marino, who's been a headliner there for 27 years, and Kenneth Blake, who's a very respected drag performer, and told them that he trusts me and believes in the project. And the next day I had like 20 emails with photos and letters saying you can use my name, you can use my likeness, things like that, from people who actually had some name recognition and some weight in the drag community. And because I had that, suddenly everybody that we wanted to get said yes. It really upped our game.
It really upped your game. That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's like Larry lent us his credibility, which is great because it also makes us a little accountable. So we had to make sure we made a really good book to make sure that we earned it and that we surpassed their expectations, because we are playing with other people's work. So you have to make sure you do it justice.
I love that in terms of the amount of respect and honor.
Yeah, it's been a very respectful process all the way through. It's been quite cool.
How has it changed you, like in terms of from the 2 years from start to finish so far, and now as you're starting to promote the book, how's it changed you as a person?
It's interesting, actually, because I've always been fairly self-assured and know what I'm doing, because I've always been an actor, first and foremost, and I understand film. But when I went into book production, I don't know this world. So I had to second guess everything I was saying. Someone would write me a letter, or a publisher would ask me a question, and I would have to do 4 hours of research before I could answer. It really, that process made me understand how much you should double check things when you're going to be accountable, how much you should make sure that you take everything into account, how I don't know everything. Because I am one of those people that just tends to just go with the flow. And now I'm a little bit more of a fact checker, if that makes sense.
And that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
In terms of with social media, obviously with Facebook, for actually connecting with a lot of the people who have supported the book, that's been really successful. Has Twitter, LinkedIn, have you found any other social media been particularly helpful in regards to for recruiting originally and connecting with?
Yes, definitely. I've actually tied my Twitter account to my Facebook page. They have a page for the drag book, DR period A period G period on Facebook, with about 2,700 people. And through them, we had little contests with who could send out the best tweets, who could send out the best little things like that to win books. And it kind of brought a bit of a community together there. Through LinkedIn, I was actually able to connect with Matthew Breen, the editor of The Advocate, one of the largest gay publications. He just recently called me and asked for a review copy of the book. So there's a possibility they may be reviewing it. So I'm finding the new social media really, really wonderful. It's a very easy way to connect with people. It's one of those things that also teaches you to trust but not expect. You know? Trust that if your intentions are good, you can ask for something, but just don't expect it, and everything seems to work out.
What was the most surprising thing you found from reaching out through social media, etc.?
How quickly people responded, actually. I was actually quite surprised. Through the entire process, we never got a no. Nobody said no in the entire thing. And I think it's because because we're doing something that's about celebrating the art of drag. It's not deconstructing it. It's just putting it on a pedestal and showing what I actually believe it is. Mm-hmm. It inspires me. And so I'm trying to make a book that inspires other people. And I think people got that feeling and went with it. It also was just really heartening how open people were to letting you use their work, to donating photos, to being included in a project, mm-hmm. to the level of generosity. Like Austin Young, who shot the cover, which has Jeffree Star on the cover in drag. He did some beautiful work, and he's got 7 to 12 different pages in the book. And just one after the other, every time someone else's name came up, he would be like, oh, I have photos of them. Let me get in touch with them for you. And people really took it upon themselves to help connect us.
Wow.
Yeah, it was really cool.
In terms of everyone who's in the book, how do they feel now that it's out? And what are some of... Is there a couple key moments that where you heard from them and it was such a really awesome thing for them to see it where it made you feel, wow, this was meant to happen?
Well, I have this one copy that I have with me now that's been signed by everybody when I took it around in L.A. to the book tour. And one of the moments that I really remember is there's this Barbara Streisand impersonator, Eddie Edwards, who sings live as Barbara Streisand. He's very well known and just absolutely brilliant. You should check him out on YouTube. Mm. When he and Larry Edwards, the Tina Turner impersonator, I mentioned got their copies of the book. They were holding them like kids at Christmas with their first gift and going, can you believe this? This is so beautiful. And they're all like so excited about it. Whereas I'm always, it's been almost a love fest where I'm constantly thanking them for letting me use their work and they're thanking me for putting them in the book. And I don't know, it's been a really, really nice experience.
It sounds like a really wonderful collaboration where it's been very win-win all the way.
It's been really wonderful, actually. And there's been so many little moments where people have cried, or people, when they buy the book, actually thank me for making it, which is just wonderful. I remember at the book launch in Los Angeles with Lady Bunny at this Club 11, there were these two 16-year-old girls, a lesbian couple outside, who couldn't get into the bar because they were too young. So we came outside because they wanted to buy a book, and they sat on the curb for like 2 hours going through the book. It was like they were looking at something sacred. It was really, really beautiful. And to be part of that, or just to have a hand in that, is quite wonderful.
That is. That's absolutely amazing. So in Dream World, because obviously we want to raise enough money to do the mm-hmm. film and honor in terms of, because it's sounding like it's honoring all around the world, which I think is truly amazing because you've got people from everywhere.
Oh, it's been great. At the London Book Fair, there were giant blow-ups of our book and it kind of took over. And there's a separate edition in France and one in Italy and one in Germany. It's kind of taking on a life of its own. So it's quite nice.
Did you dream it was going to be this big?
To be honest, I don't think I had an end goal.
Okay.
I don't have not a really definite end goal. I just wanted to get the ball rolling.
Mm-hmm.
Because the film we're trying to make is a festival film. It's not going to be a gigantic budget, but we just wanted to make sure the money came from a good place. And now the money for the film is going to come from people who love drag and from the book itself, which is a respectful thing on drag.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it colors the whole process. So. I don't really have an end goal as far as how much we're going to raise and that kind of thing, but I just think we're heading in a good direction, so I'm just going to go with the flow.
And I think that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially with fundraising, it's really important that things do come from, from the heart, where it comes from, where it's fully supportive, and I think that's sometimes more key.
Yeah, I like that very much, too. And what you were saying before about people's reactions to the book, the people in it, I honestly feel like the look on people's faces who are in the book when they get it, they actually feel respected. Because I don't think the drag performers in our community are lovely and we all adore them, but there's always been a little bit of, I don't know, a little bit of a, I can't think of the term, but they're a little off to the side kind of thing. Whereas it's interesting what you do, but when it's on stage and there's a little bit of separation and stuff, where I think is this book is a celebration of what they do, and I think they feel respected by it.
That makes a lot of sense, because just from, and I just got a chance to look through it, mm-hmm. and it's beautiful, and it's almost, they're revered.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah, and just honored, as you mentioned, the word sacred, which I think is really, really key.
I think it's just absolutely amazing the photography we were actually able to get. I was surprised because I'm still this, even though I'm putting books together and movies, and I'm still this little kid at heart. So I forget the simplest thing, like that the drag performers are usually makeup artists and they know all the top photographers. And so these photos come in and they're absolutely the most beautiful thing, higher than anything you've ever expected. Mm-hmm. And it's shocking to me, you know, but it's still lovely.
It's really lovely.
Yeah.
How would you like to see drag evolve in the next 10 years in regards to, and I just mean the art form, like if you could basically wave a magic wand and change things,
to be honest, I believe if the performers were respected a little more in the clubs, they'd get paid a decent wage, because I don't think people understand that the performers really don't get paid that much to put on that much of a show. Little things like the clubs don't light them like they're actually a theatrical production. There's no lights on the stage. There's a spotlight without a gel. The stage is in shambles. It's not fit. Like a lot of these clubs just don't put out the red carpet for them. Do you know what I mean? Whereas if a performer, it's kind of one of those things where you kind of take for granted the people that are around you, and then someone from out of town comes and everyone moons over them. That kind of thing.
Yes.
So a performer comes from out of town and the club redoes stuff and makes sure they're paid appropriately and makes sure they have everything they need, but the performers that are there every week don't get that. So I'd like to see the bar raised for how they're treated.
And is that, do you find that all around the world, or is that more of a Vancouver thing?
To be honest, I would say it's pretty standard usually that people do end up taking a bit for granted the people that are in their own house.
That's very true. Yes.
I would think so. But there are bigger shows, like the Vegas shows and the reviews that are more of a theatrical production. I mean, Vegas is Vegas, so they treat everything like a gigantic show.
Mm-hmm.
So they have everything in place and dressing rooms and things like that. I understand that a smaller club can't compete with that, but just little things like a gel on the light or something.
Very much so.
You know.
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
I've seen a couple of the shows at the Stanley in regards to raising a lot of money for, and that's been really nice to see, the proper lighting, etc.
Yeah, very much. When it's presented well, it can be an absolutely wonderful thing, but it should be that way all the time.
Very much so. We're going to take a really quick short break, and when we get back, we're going to be chatting about more about drag. You've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. We will be right back.
Become a friend of CITR and get great discounts in the Main Street area at
Antisocial Skateboard Shop, Devil May Wear, Flaming Angels Boutique, Lucky's Comics, Neptune Records, Red Cat Records, the Regional Assembly of Text, RX Comics, Temple of the Modern Girl, and the Wallflower Modern Diner.
It pays to be a friend of CITR. To learn more, come visit us in room 233 of the sub on UBC campus, or check us out online at citr.ca.
Listen, if they're so hot, how come they're not tearing up the charts, babe?
Because you never play them, babe.
At CITR, our hosts choose the music they play. That means our charts actually reflect the tastes of music lovers, as opposed to focus groups. So if you want to know what's really tearing up the charts, get your hands on a copy of Beatroot or Discorder magazine, or go online to citr.ca. CITR's charts are based on actual spins motivated by actual preference. No payola, no marketing, just good tunes. Refreshing, no?
What do you know about bikes? Everything? Perfect. Nothing at all? Even better. At the UBC Bike Kitchen, you can use our space and tools to do your own bike maintenance, get one-on-one instruction on how to fix your bike yourself, or drop your bike off for us to repair. You can also buy a fully refurbished, guaranteed used bicycle, or a variety of new and used parts and accessories. The Bike Kitchen is UBC's non-profit, student-owned, full-service bike shop. We're located in the basement of the Student Union Building. Just look for the stairwell on the north side of the sub across from Gage Towers, or search for the UBC Bike Kitchen on Facebook. Stop by the Bike Kitchen and then get riding.
on Sexy in Van City Radio, 101.9 FM on CITR. And if you're just joining us, we are talking about drag, and we are talking to the sexy, the wonderful Mr. Chris Logan. So, which on that note, I think you met my Aunt Rowena a long time ago.
I believe I did.
And she was very excited that you were on the show tonight because she thinks you're one of the best looking men in Vancouver.
Oh, that's sweet. That's gorgeous.
So.
I remember her. She was a lot of fun.
She was a lot of fun. So, actually, I think that night we were out, and I think somebody who is our age actually tried to pick her up, even though she was in her 70s at the time.
There you go.
So she's doing quite well.
She's got a great energy, so I'm not surprised.
Yes, and she looks great.
Yeah.
But she said to say hello. And in regards to drag, you'd mentioned in regards to, it's a really great opportunity for people to explore, find out who they are. And I want to tie it in regards to sexuality.
Okay.
And any stories for whether for yourself or people that you've worked with when you've performed where you found it, how it's helped shape them and help them have an opportunity to explore and see who they really are and letting themselves shine in different ways.
Well, to be honest, I honestly believe everyone should do drag at least once because it shows you a different side of yourself. And it's such an enlightening thing because the one thing it teaches you is you are very much how you're treated. We all think we come from this really strong place and we're just a strong personality. But when you are a guy and suddenly you're dressed as a pretty girl, people start treating you as a pretty girl. And suddenly you start acting as a pretty girl and you start doing things and you're like, where did that come from? What just happened? Why did I just flip my hair? What just happened? Like, it's amazing how you are the reactions. Mm. So when someone treats you a certain way, you just react that way. It's interesting. We are how we're treated. So you kind of set the stage with how you look in drag, and then you're treated accordingly, and then you become.
That's really interesting because they've done studies where people decide whether or not they like you within the first 10 seconds they lay eyes on you.
It's very visual.
Very much so.
Yeah, it's how we protect ourselves, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We're very visual people. You see someone, you instantly get your back up or smile or giggle or something.
Very much so. So I can totally see that. And in terms of sexuality as well, I can see where it would be an opportunity to play, which I think sometimes as adults, we don't have as much opportunity to play as much as we'd like in many ways.
Not as often. People don't play as often as they should. Mm-hmm. Although little things like lately you see all these little animal caps, the little critters and the Muppet caps and stuff that people are wearing and stuff that people are playing like kids a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be fun and it's got its place. But to embrace that side of yourself that you're not used to embracing can be really, really empowering.
How would you encourage people in terms of to start playing besides trying drag? And I'm actually going to ask as well for women, like, would you encourage them to do drag king as well, just to play as well?
Yeah, to be honest, just to understand a different side of yourself, it's absolutely unbelievable. It's a different thing to go out dressed as a completely different person and suddenly get treated completely differently. Really tests your natural reactions to things.
Mm-hmm.
How much you need attention, how much you're willing to wait around, how much you're willing to put out, how much you're willing to put yourself out there, that kind of stuff. It really lets you know who you are because you can see the contrast between who you are and who you aren't.
So basically it's pushing the envelope because if we don't push, we shrink.
And yeah, very much so.
If we push and explore and see what works for us, sometimes it might unveil different pieces of ourselves.
Yeah, very much so. It's like exposing yourself to something new.
Mm-hmm.
If you never saw it, you don't have a chance to like it or not like it.
That makes sense. Sometimes I think of human beings as we're almost like rubies where we've got certain sides that we like to shine up a lot and polish.
Yeah.
And that's what we like to show to the world, whereas there's all these other wonderful sides too. And sometimes because we rely on the ones that we're best at, we don't always stretch and let the other pieces of ourselves shine.
That's so funny. The image of a well-built bodybuilder with chicken legs came to mind.
I like that. And again, I wish to God we could actually sketch that out. And I wish we had a video camera in here because I think that would be really hilarious.
I'm sure people can Google that and images will pop up.
I'm almost scared to see what that would be
like. I think so too.
What is, in terms of for the film, what does that look like in your head? Like, in terms of what does Drag the Film look like?
To be honest, I'm a I love drag and I love film, but I've never actually seen drag shot for film in my mind. Everything from Priscilla to Tu Wong Fu to Connie and Carla to, well, almost every drag film has been, you set a camera up at the base of the stage and watch the people perform as if you're in the room. But it's film. It should be shot like an old movie musical to me. You should be able to go on the stage, and like in Chicago where everything was a fantasy and you could fly off the stage and do all sorts of things. I mean, you're in the medium of a movie. You can do all that. So that's what I want this to be. I want a real story with a real heart, but once you take the stage, it's fantasy, and you're not bound by physics and reality and any of that stuff.
I'd love to. I can't wait to see it.
It'll be fun. You'll have to work on it with us.
I would love that.
Yeah.
That'd be fantastic. For in regards to if somebody wants to donate money, and so say somebody's listening and they want to donate money to you, is there a page set up on your website where people can just give money?
There isn't. At this point, it's actually the book itself is the fundraiser. Okay. So if you're interested in donating, just pick up a copy of the book for a friend. The book's $39.95. It's a 160-page, 28-by-28-centimeter, large-scale coffee table book. So it's well worth the money. But we're not at the point where we're doing donations and stuff. I'm very hopeful that we'll actually be able to raise the money from the film and from private investment and from just working with the book itself, that we may be creating a new business model, hopefully.
I think that's really cool. What does that model look like?
Self-sustainable art. I believe that, like, this is the prototype, and if this works, then I will keep producing books on the subject of the films we're going to make. And hopefully down the line, say there's a documentary filmmaker who wants to do a film about Morocco. Say we do a coffee table book on the history and architecture of Morocco, put it through our system that's already established, publish it, and then co-produce the film. That kind of thing. So you end up putting something out in the world, like this drag book that I'm very proud of, because it furthers drag and gets it out to a wider audience. And on the back of that, you raise the money to make the film, which hopefully will be as respectful.
So it's kind of like a social enterprise, in other words, except for it's not a charity.
A little bit. The thing that it's not a charity, because I don't believe film really is. And
no.
It gets treated that way sometimes, independent films. And I believe it changes the tone of what the project is.
Very much so. I think in general arts, and I love the arts, but I think just in terms of just a lot of the funding cuts for a lot of things, it kind of shows that art should be revered more.
Yeah, very much so. Very much so.
So how can we change our society in terms of doing that? I know that's a very profound question, but I'm going to ask it anyway.
But to be honest, the only thing you can do is know yourself and do things for yourself. I mean, I think everyone, including people in the arts, tend to be going on business models that are outdated or things that have come before. And for me, with the drag book, I mean, this comes from me, this idea to make a book on the people that I know and love, to raise money for a film on the same subject. That's all my own business plan coming from me. I'm not imitating somebody else's thing. So that's why I think it's working, because it comes from a real place. And I think that's the connection that people keep forgetting. People in the arts tend to, I just know this myself, you think of money as a really bad thing. If you do something for money, you feel a little guilty about it and that kind of thing. And we have to kind of get rid of that a bit and marry arts with money. There's a way to make art that's sustainable. It just has to be personal, and it'll probably work.
I hope so too. And I think in general our world, in terms of with money, where sometimes I think that's a big thing, is we feel guilty getting paid for things that we get pleasure from.
Very much so.
And so as a world, we need to evolve that.
Have you done a show on Sexy Time about getting paid for pleasure?
I have actually done several. Okay. Where I've had a few sex workers on the show at different times.
It seems like a good topic.
It is a very good topic, actually. It's an interesting topic, and a lot of different angles on it.
Oh, I'm sure.
I have a PC question for you.
Yeah, please.
When someone is in drag, is it should one be calling, if it's a man dressed up as a woman, should
you mean
be
the pronouns?
Her, she? Yes.
Yeah, to be honest, it's kind of respectful. When someone looks like a woman, call them a woman. You know, I mean, I know that when you're referring to someone by name, like say you're referring to a drag performer like by name, like Sweetie in New York, you'd refer to Sweetie as she because it's a female name, that kind of thing. It is respectful when someone's in drag to refer to them as her.
I was wondering about that, because I know if I know, in regards to transgendered, whether they're pre-op or post-op, it's as long as they self-identify as a woman, how yeah. we consider the machine and vice versa.
It's kind of just a visual presentation thing. If you present yourself as female, you should mm-hmm. be respected as female.
Perfect. Yeah. I wanted to double check because I wasn't sure for drag, but I knew for trans.
I think that
trans,
makes sense.
Very much so. Because I know there was a case in regards to Vancouver Rape Relief and a woman who was trans who had applied as a volunteer where they and she was post-op and they didn't consider her female. And it actually went all the way up to Supreme Court, which I'm not sure where they are in terms of that because it's been appealed a few times and flipped back and forth. But I know I agree with you in regards to if someone identifies as a woman, they should be considered a woman, regardless whether they're pre-op, post-op.
Yeah, but it's like with anything, like it's like gay, straight, bi. You should respect someone to
self-identify.
How they, if they want to be called her, say her, and stuff like that. You know, if they say they're gay, they're gay. But it's not up to you to tell them.
No.
Yeah.
Very much so. Why do you think people do try and tell people, though?
People like to know things. I mean, to be honest, we're visual people and stuff like that. I mean, I had it happen recently where I met a transsexual, female to male, and I used pronouns, him, all the time. But then every now and then when he spoke, I heard something feminine in the voice and I would use the wrong pronoun because it was just how you identify. And it wasn't trying to do anything or anything. It was just a natural reaction. I just kept apologizing about it all night. So you don't really know where it all comes from, but it's just our triggers, and we have to identify things because that's what makes us feel safe.
That's true.
Yeah.
Very much so, and I think as long as we keep the communication really open about it like you did.
Oh, yeah, very much so.
I think that's really key, and hopefully all of us will take a page from your book.
No,
literally.
Nice. Take 160 pages.
And in regards to that, let's just plug your website again in regards to where they can pick it up.
Sure. If you go to www.bookthefilm.com, there's some preview pages up there of this book and one of our others, and some of the press clippings, because we've had quite a few magazine articles been coming out on the book so far. Bookthefilm.com. It's available on Amazon, .ca in Canada, or .com in the States, and a lot of different online stores. And the best place in town is to support Little Sisters Bookshop on Davie Street and to get the book there.
I think that sounds fantastic. We're going to take a really quick short break. And when we come back, we're going to be chatting more. You're listening to Sexy in Van City Radio, 101.9 FM. And you're making me giggle. We will be right back. And just for you, in stereo.
Electro Swing Vancouver celebrates its first birthday with special UK guest, The Correspondents. The Correspondents have floored countless audiences, with The Telegraph UK rating them as their top 10 highlights of Glastonbury Festival 2 years in a row. They will be joined by a live vaudeville band, burlesque, and a fire display for an all-around spectacular night. Retro dress is encouraged. Advance tickets are $15 at escv1yearanniversary.eventbrite.ca or at Woo Vintage. Sponsored by CITR 101.9 FM and So Salacious.
Listen, if they're so hot, how come they're not tearing up the charts, babe?
Because you never play them, babe.
At CITR, our hosts choose the music they play. That means our charts actually reflect the tastes of music lovers, as opposed to focus groups. So if you want to know what's really tearing up the charts, get your hands on a copy of Beatroot or Discorder magazine, or go online to CITR.ca. CITR's charts are based on actual spins motivated by actual preference. No payola, no marketing, just good tunes. Refreshing, no?
Union Events and Tamper Concerts are pleased to present Yellow Wolf at the Fortune Sound Club with special guest Snack the Ripper. The show takes place August 3rd at 8 p.m. 19 plus only. Tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster, Red Cat Records, Zulu Records, and Beat Street Records, or online at TamberConcerts.com or UnionEvents.com. Sponsored by CITR 101.9 FM.
And that's all just for Chris Logan. We are back. at Sexy and Van City Radio on 101.9 FM. And it's okay, you can laugh.
I know, we're giggling too much in the studio.
It's okay to giggle. Giggling is good. I think that's why there's laughter yoga out there.
True.
And this is fun, too.
Yeah.
So if you're just joining us, we are talking about Drag, which is this gorgeous coffee table book I've got in front of me right now. And this book, it's a really wonderful, innovative idea in regards to doing a book to raise money for a film project, which I think is lovely. And what's gorgeous about the book is everybody who's in it, there's drag performers from all around the world. So if you haven't had a chance to come check it out, you can check it out on Chris Logan's website, or you can locally in Vancouver go to Little Sisters Bookstore as well. And I'm going to get you to plug your website again.
Sure, the website is www.bookthefilm.com. And there's some preview pages on the first page where you can check out the book, and like we're saying, or you can pick it up at Little Sisters Bookshop.
So what's next for you?
To be honest, we're just about to start into film funding and film fundraising to work on that. I was toying with doing a same format book on burlesque stars and contacted maybe 50 of the top 75 burlesque stars so far. And so I have enough photos for half a book so far, but I'm kind of stop and start with it at the moment because I'm just still working on getting the drag book out there.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that may be the next one.
That sounds like that would be very, very cool.
Yeah, some amazing photos. And the female burlesque stars are just, like, so talented. And I find it funny that I just said female because I've only, while doing the photos, realized there's actually a lot of male burlesque stars.
There are.
I didn't know that.
We actually used to have Teddy Smooth.
Okay.
Used to be doing a show called Cabaret Radio, which he did it for 3 years, and it was actually an award-winning show on CITR.
Lovely.
And I'll never forget him actually doing a piece to Cream where he's dressed up as a chef and smearing smearing whipped cream all over himself. So.
Lovely.
He kept his boxers on, but it was very, very funny.
Nice.
I've never laughed so hard to Prince, because to me, Prince's music to do a lot of things too, but I haven't touché.
There you go.
Visualize that. So
just seemed appropriate.
It was very, very, very appropriate. In terms of for the book Drag, who was one of the people that you really, really, really wanted but weren't sure if you would be able to get and were able to get?
To be honest, we have a sort of a centerfold of a four-page spread on a Marilyn Monroe impersonator named Jimmy James. And Jimmy James actually no longer performs as Marilyn. He stopped several years ago and now is embarked on a dance music career as a male vocalist. But to get him to let us use his photos to take him out of retirement was a lot of back and forth. And he was someone I really wanted. Because for the book, to have the Marilyn Monroe centerfold is just amazing. And if you see the photos, they will blow your mind. It is absolutely stunning. And once again, if you YouTube Jimmy James and Marilyn, you will see him sing live as Marilyn and be absolutely blown away.
That's incredible. So for the film, what would be dream performer you'd want in the film?
To be honest, there's an actor named Charles Bush who's won awards for playing Joan Crawford on Broadway and types like that. And he's played a lot of drag parts, and he would be the dream get for one of the lead characters. And the funniest thing is, once again using Facebook, he sent me a note about the book the other day to say hi and to say that he's thrilled with how the book came out. And so that's already kind of in the works.
I love this. This is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, the little connections have been firing constantly. So, I mean, it's when you do something for the right reasons, it seems to work out.
And I think that's really key, doing something for the right reason. And from there, everything just starts to flow together.
Yeah. Can I tell you my favorite thing about the project?
Yes, please.
For independent filmmakers and fundraisers everywhere, you love this, because every person donated their work. They donated their photography, the photographers, and signed releases, so the money goes to the project. And the performers signed likeness releases as well. So everyone donated their work. So it took 2 years to put together from concept to worldwide distribution, but to the entire project cost $47.
Really?
Yeah. I printed one book for $47 and sent it to the publisher, and they signed us.
I'm just trying to pick my jaw up right now, so I'm kind of speechless.
Yeah, I know. It's I can't wrap my head around that either, actually, because it's $47. It's like, we sell two books, we're fine.
That's true.
Yeah.
But it's also a labor of love as well because
oh, very much so.
Your 2 years of time with yourself and your graphic designer. That's
yeah, very much so.
A lot of labor and love too.
Yeah.
But that's really impressive. I'm not sure what to say after that.
I know.
That stumped me speechless because I'm pretty impressed with that.
Well, oh, I'm just very hopeful that people embrace the book. They seem to be. Everyone who sees the book is really awed by the photography and awed by the performers in the book. And everyone seems to lovingly look through it. Nobody seems to flip through the book. Everyone seems to go page by page, slowly taking everything in mm-hmm. from beginning to end. And I'm just really, really proud that we captured a lot of the diversity of the drag community, a lot of different types. We have some of the club kids from New York. We have people bordering on showgirls from Belgium. We have female impersonators who do specific characters like Cher and Tina Turner, Chad Michaels and Larry Edwards. Mm-hmm. And then we have people who do their own drag characters. And then we have a punk glam superstar like Jeffree Star on the cover. So it's just a wide gambit of the diversity in that community.
I think that's awesome. And for you personally as an actor, what's next for you? And just for all the other work that you're doing? Because you've done a lot of really great things in town to produce
yeah.
different events, etc. Is there anything else coming up?
To be honest, I produce these movie musical sing-with events.
I love them.
Little sing-alongs where we put the subtitles up on the screen for a movie musical and everyone sings with. And I think we may be doing one around the end of August, possibly Chicago, at Denman Cinema, which will be announced on Facebook soon. Or we'll have an announcement on the Book of the Film website as well.
I think that sounds fascinating.
Yeah.
Well, Chris, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome, and let's just plug one more time.
Please go to bookthefilm.com, BOOKTHEFILM, bookthefilm.com to check out the book Drag, DR.A.G. for Dressed as Girl, and come see what the art of impersonation is all about.
I think that sounds fantastic. And I may have to try drab one day.
I think so. I think you'll enjoy it. I can't imagine you drab, but you know.
I know. I'd have to bind them.
Yes. If you bind them, they will come.
Touché. You've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. We're going to be back next week at the sexy hour of 10 o'clock, and I hope this weekend you get out there and get to check out all the wonderful festivities that there are, and I just can't wait. So, until next time, adios, everyone. Good night. I almost want to play a sexy song, but I don't really play sexy songs on my show to end the night.
Hmm.
Did you want to sing something?
Or something sexy?
Something sexy.
I have no idea.
Until next time, up next is Hans von Klaus's Misery Hour. He is a very sexy man to be miserable with. He'll be guiding you through the wee hours with this ambient music and a super hot voice. And he's got great shoes, too. Did you check out his shoes?
Not really.
Hmm? Sometimes he's got really, really awesome shoes, and he's a very good shopper, even better than me. And you've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. Until next time, bye-bye.
My name is Natasha Raya. I'm a robot now. I'm playing with my breast again. Nothing to do. Sometimes I listen to Misery Hour with Hans Close Wednesday at 11 before midnight. I don't think I like it.
Become a friend of CITR and get great discounts in the commercial drive area at
Audio Pile, Bone Rattle Music, High Life Records, and the People's Co-op Bookstore.
It pays to be a friend of CITR. To learn more, come visit us in room 233 of the sub on UBC campus or check us out online at citr.ca.